You may have heard us talk about the Constitution before with Dave Schultz. He's a constitutional law professor. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you today?
Really good. He's at Hamline University. I got just a couple minutes, but I just want to make sure if the president or somebody, the president thinks he can do something by executive order and birthright citizenship. We all understand that that can't be done. It would require a constitutional amendment. You and I are on page with that, right?
Correct.
Okay, so then the question becomes, how do you amend the Constitution? Tell me my eighth grade civics is right. There's two ways to do it. You need to get two-thirds of the House of Representatives and two-thirds of the Senate to approve a bill to amend the Constitution. And if they do, then it goes to the states, and three-fourths of them have to agree. Is that it?
Correct.
Or what
and
else?
Then there's also a provision for a constitutional convention where if we get two-thirds of the states to call for a constitutional convention, they then adopt something, and then the convention is called, and then if it's ratified by three-quarters of the states, it can amend it. We've never used the constitutional convention process so far in the United States, so that the dominant mode is the Congress two-thirds ratified by three-fourths of the states, and that's in Article 5 of the Constitution.
So this is the way we changed the drinking age. This is the way we gave women and others the right to vote. I'm just trying to think of some of the latter amendments, but we've always done it that way.
We've always done it that way, yes. Yeah. So things that we would put in there, we've given 18-year-olds the right to vote. We've given women, we abolished slavery that way. We adopted what? The Bill of Rights that way. You know, the First Amendment rights to free speech, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way to do it. In our country, the Constitution, and the Constitution says this, by the way, Article 6 of the Constitution says that the Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land, which means it's at the top. And about as bedrock of a principle that we get in law is that anything that comes into you have to amend the Constitution to amend the Constitution through that formal process, and B, anything that is contrary to the Constitution is unconstitutional, if that makes sense,
sure.
If you know what I'm saying
here. Sure, it's not the law.
And so, for example, you know, let's say Congress were to pass the law. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of speech. Let's say Congress passes a law and says that John Williams and David Schultz can't have a conversation about the weather. Would that be unconstitutional? Of course it would be. Yeah. So the Constitution's pretty clear on these things.
But when a bill passes the House and the Senate, the president or the governor, but the president could veto it. Would the president have the power to veto something that went through this amendment process?
No. That's interesting here, but no. I mean, there's some presidents who've insisted on signing off on constitutional amendments, but it's more ceremonial. Because also, once Congress passes something by two-thirds, that's enough to overcome a presidential veto anyhow. So once Congress does it, it's up to the states at that point to do what they want to do.
All right. I'm also reading from a website here, and it talked about at usconstitution.net. It says there's something called the informal amendment, and that is where over time we interpret something differently. So, for instance, the Constitution gave people the right to vote. It says here, but originally they only intended that for white males who owned land, but eventually they interpreted that more broadly. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, they may not be accurate in the sense that the Constitution originally actually had no language about voting rights whatsoever, and it was mostly by amendments. I think a better example becomes if I were to turn to you and say, since everybody's talking about Alexander Hamilton now, we'll use them. If I were to turn to you and say, what did Alexander Hamilton think about the Internet? And you would say to me what?
What did Alexander Hamilton think about the Internet? I would say he would say it was a great idea. I don't know.
Right. But the one pointing is that, or censorship on the Internet. You know, he might say, I don't have an idea what the Internet is. The point that I'm getting is that, that's what I'm getting at here.
Sure.
Is to say that we sometimes have to figure out, well, documents 230 years old. How do we apply this to the contemporary times? And sometimes we might have to say, okay, and that's the interpretation that's being referred to there, is that we have to figure out, how to apply this language to circumstances that the framers may have never envisioned. For example, telephones, telegraphs, the internet, the social media, radio shows. I mean, this is stuff that the framers never thought about. So we have to figure out how to do it. And sometimes the Supreme Court, in its interpretations, is sort of saying, well, this is what we think it means now.
Yeah. So that becomes an informal amendment to the Constitution. It's our
exactly. Our
current understanding of it. But otherwise, you've
exactly.
got those two ways, the convention, or you go through the House and Senate, and then back to the states, and the president has no say on it. Okay.
Correct, right. The other thing I want to mention here, and we're running out of time probably, is that our Constitution is a power-conferring document. You only have powers that the Constitution explicitly gives to you or it's implied. And the reason why that's important is that there's nothing in the Constitution that either explicitly or implicitly says that a president has the authority to issue executive orders to overturn the Constitution or to amend it. That's about as a bedrock principle of constitutional law as you can get. It's funny I mentioned this because when am I off to go teach in about 25 minutes? I'm teaching constitutional law in a law school. So this is pretty bedrock stuff.
Since the Constitution doesn't give the president to override the Constitution, he therefore does not have that power.
Absolutely correct. Unless the Constitution explicitly says or it's necessarily implied, and there's nothing to indicate either of those here.
It's nice to talk to you. Oh, to be a student of yours someday. I guess we kind of are on the radio, but thank you for your time, Dave Schultz.
Anytime. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hamline University, professor of constitutional law.